Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio by Stuart Riley. A rare appearance from you, Stu. Good to have you in here. We have Mark Boylan as well, who's been out and about this morning, and Paul Binfield too from Paddy Power to get the latest prices after the weekend's action. And what a weekend it was. There's been plenty of change in the Cheltenham anti-post markets, courtesy of Surname, Lost in Translation, If the Cap Fits, and the list goes on. Plenty of good Irish action as well, with Lorena winning and Chris's Dream yesterday as well. So let's get straight into the review section of this postcast. And first off, we've got to talk about the main contest. It was Surname in the Christie 1965 Chase, beating Altior. Stu, whose camp were you in beforehand?
I was in the Surname camp beforehand, and was rather delighted to see him win. It was an impressive performance, wasn't it?
It certainly was, yeah. Mark, how did you sort of analyse the race? Because Altior, he was really well supported in the run-up to it, but, I mean, he could never lay a glove on Surname, really.
Yeah, I was disappointed with him, and I would have been in the Altior camp coming in. I thought he was a superior horse. Stepping up in trip, I absolutely, totally thought it was a brilliant decision from a sporting point of view for Connections to do, but very brave. If it was me, I wouldn't have as much guts to go and do that. I'd be sticking to what you're good at 2 miles. But I don't think Altier would have won over. You don't think you'd be turning him over 2 miles, 2.5, or 3 miles. I just don't know. I was disappointed with his showing. Surname was probably, I get the vibe of me. Look at how he picked up in the straight. Look at how he jumped the last two fences and attacked them. Maybe he was just absolutely rock hard fit and Altier needed it a little bit. But I wouldn't be confident even he's going to reverse the form come King George time. Just, you know, the only thing is you have to remember Sprinter Sacre hit a similar lull. I know he had a physical issue. He rattled off 10 chase wins in a row and then suffered defeat at Kempton. It took a little bit of time to get back. I'm not suggesting there's a physical issue here, but he looked flat. He wasn't himself. You're waiting for the turbo to kick in and it never came. And I don't know, I'm not a section of the times man. I'm not someone that would, I don't have a brilliant knowledge of it, but I set my stopwatch from 3 out in the Surname Altior race and from 3 out in Pim's race over 2 miles 7, so about nearly 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs further. Pim was quicker from 3 out than Surname was from 3 out, and he was running over 2 furlongs shorter, 2.5 shorter. Just thought it was interesting. You know, I'm not too sure whether Altior was really coming home with any great gusto. He still stayed. He definitely stayed, but I just waiting for the kick to come. I was disappointed, but we'll learn more next time. But left me more questions than answers, to be honest with you, about Altior. But clear and play to Surname. I didn't give him the respect beforehand. I respect him now.
Yeah, exactly. So just to sort of highlight, you'd go back to 2 miles with Altior then?
Yeah, like, well, if you want to have a crack at the King George, do. But I think you're only kind of, if it was me, I'd go back to 2 miles right now. I'd nearly run a Kempton over 2 miles and go back and try and make it another champion chase. I'd do that. But if Connections have gone down this road, maybe you should stay going. Maybe you shouldn't let one run. But for me, I'd go back to 2 miles.
I'm with Mark. I don't necessarily think the sparks were flying. I'm not sure he would have won over necessarily any trip on Saturday. I mean, what would you do if he were yours now? It seems like they're tentatively suggesting the King George, which,
Yeah, I wouldn't be going anywhere near 2 miles with him. He looks slow, doesn't he? He's one of those horses. He's been a bit off for a year now.
Yeah.
You know, you go back and you watch last year and, okay, it's the benefit of hindsight and all of that, but he didn't really dazzle at all last year. He sort of got by on reputation. He was Altior. Nothing really wanted to come and take him on. The way races were run and panned out really suited him because nothing really thought they could beat him. So nothing tried to. And I think it was one of those. Surname came out. He was race fit. He served it up to him and the bubble burst slightly. Now, I think you can point out that he's never really sort of dazzled around Ascot in the past. It's always been a course where there have been question marks. He's thrown up performances around there that you've gone, oh, every time he's run at Ascot, he's looked the most beatable, and you've thought next time out, oh, maybe there's a weakness, and he's gone and shown that that was false. So I would not be giving up on him by any stretch. I would definitely be going to the King George with him next, because I think he'd get beaten silly at 2 miles. The advantage that he may have is if Chacun Pourceaux looks as menacing or continues to look as menacing as he has, he may scare everything else off and he may well be able to go back. And, you know, that could be a battle. It's a two-horse race rather than a six-horse race. You look at that King George market and Gold Cup betting, and There's a lot of good horses in there, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. Binners, the King George is the pinnacle race with the sort of fallout from this in mind. What prices have we got on Surname and Altior?
Well, a very good afternoon to you, Maddie. Yep, in the King George, Surname now heads the market. We went 5-2 favourite from 9-2 favourite immediately after the race. It has changed a bit now. We'll be going on to Lost in Translation. And Altior is a 7-1 chance for the Christmas showpiece.
Fantastic. Now, another good performance put up on Saturday, Ascot, was by If the Cap Fits, who won his second Coral Hurdle. Thought he won this in really gritty fashion, Mark.
He's a tough old bugger, isn't he? You know, I thought maybe he might need the run, considering Harry Fry is at a slower start to the season. But this weekend maybe just showed they're turning a little bit of a corner. He had a good winner at Fast Last in the bumper, and a couple of them have ran really well since. But he has been quieter. It's not even a fact that the strike rate isn't too bad. It's just he's had less runners and obviously less winners. Thought the horse was good. 3 miles, I thought, was going to be exactly what he needs after the performance at Aintree last year. Cheek pieces on then seemed to really suit him. But it was a game performance. I was disappointed with Roxana. It was probably one of the... I thought she'd be capable of doing it, but maybe she's needs a little bit further as well. I kind of saw her as a stayer's hurdle prospect, albeit the mares saw her in a very good light last year. But yeah, I think he needs to stay up to beat Paisley Park, but you can expect considerable improvement. I think the vibes beforehand were that this was a kind of an almost a stepping stone to the long walk, and by God, that's going to be some clash now, isn't it? We can't wait to see that.
It is. If he were to face Paisley Park in the long walk, which is likely to happen, Paisley Park will sit on Friday in that long distance hurdle at Newbury. Whose side would you be on? I think this horse can really serve it up to him.
I think he gets beaten further than out he'll got beaten. He's not going to lay a glove on Paisley Park. He's a different animal. I love Paisley Park. Like, If the Cap Fits, he's a bonny horse and, you know, he'll win races, but I don't think he's up to that level. That said, these staying types, they do tend to be that sort of, let's call them less dazzling horses. Thistle Crack was very much sort of out of the ordinary when it came to these staying hurdlers. They're not normally that flamboyant. And even Paisley Park, you know, you go back to Cheltenham last year, turning for home, didn't look like he was going to win as impressively as he did. The fact is he did end up winning impressively. If the Cap Fits was workmanlike all the way to the line, and I just feel that there's a huge class edge there.
Okay, yeah, it'd be good to see if that can be exploited by Paisley Park Banner in the long walk. We'll go on to Binners now, and Binners, I mean, the world the Stayers Hurdle, sorry, Paisley Park, still going to be a favourite for a lot of people. It'll be really good to see what he can do on his reappearance at Newbury.
Yeah, lots of people looking forward to that. We're all looking forward to a massive weekend at Newbury. Maddie, can't wait to be there. Paisley Park, as you say, he sets the standard in the staying division. He's 2-1 favourite. If the Cap Fits has really jumped in there now, though, Maddie. He was 12-1. He's 8-1 second favourite now. 9-1 is Bainey De Jure. 12-1 for the World's End, Max McNeil, and 16-1 Bar.
Fabulous. It will be good to see how that market changes throughout the season if Paisley Park can be as dominant as he was last year. Now, one horse who was dominant, I would argue, was Lost in Translation in the Betfair Chase at Haydock, given a superb ride by Robbie Power, the man of the moment. More of him a little bit later on. But this was Bristol Demise stomping ground, Stu, and the young horse put it right up to him.
Yeah, he did. It was a very impressive performance, wasn't it? He travelled all over him, kicked clear, and I mean they put a lot of distance into Froden in a short space of time, so yeah, it looked a legitimate performance. And he's a horse that you've got to take very seriously. He seems to have it all. He's got speed, he's got stamina, he jumps wonderfully. Like, yeah, he's got to be towards the top of any list, really.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree with that. I think the two perhaps worst jumps he put in were the final two fences when he just got in a little bit close, but he was clever, Mark. I mean, Lost in Translation, how do you compare him to the stayers on the other side of the water?
What I liked about his performance, and it's something he's done before, but he's obviously got gears. I think a lot of them Gold Cup horses, you know, there's an element of class to them. Album Photo had gears, Size and John had gears. Obviously, it's different. In, you know, your Native River is a different sort of a horse. He's more, he'll gallop into submission. But I could see this fella really early travelling around. Like before this, I had himself and Album Photo probably as the two leading Gold Cup contenders at this stage for me. And he just took a step forward ahead of Album Photo in my estimations after it. He'd have to be impressive. Like, for any horse to beat, Bristol Demai in circumstances that are absolutely made for him. I thought it was very impressive. And Robbie, like, he's been riding the crest of a wave at the minute. It's unbelievable. And what a position he's in with the firepower he has. He deserves the firepower. But, you know, even I think he admitted himself, he probably got there a little bit too soon. And he rather, I think, even though it maybe could have been better for the horse to just go and take his time and then go by him in one swoop, I think the fact that he had to get into a battle would have taught him plenty about this kind of heavyweight duels at this sort of level. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of the horse. I just can't wait to see him next. And it'll be some race. If he does line up in the King George, you've got so much to look forward to there. And, you know, Clandazobo, he ought to be an awful lot sharper than he was at Down Royal. Footpat announced himself as a genuine contender at Thurles last Thursday. You know, obviously we have Surname Altior potentially, you know, Road to Respect was mentioned as potentially one that could get an entry for it. I just can't wait for Christmas. I can't wait for the 26th of December. It'll be brilliant.
Yeah, I think
there's one thing to add on the Gold Cup front with Lost in Translation that is a potential negative, and that is he's already run at Carlisle. He's had this race at Haydock. They're going to go to the King George. Collins then said that he'll go to the Denman Chase. Then he's going to do Cheltenham, Aintree and Punchestown. He's in for a busy old season, and that could catch up with him.
Yeah, so a note of caution there then from Stu. How did Paddy Power react, Binners?
Well, Maddie, I got Altior wrong, but I did get Lost in Translation right. I think he's brilliant. He now shares favouritism with Surname for the King George at 5-2. Last year's winner, Clandazobo, on 5-1. 7 Altior, 12 Footpad, who Mark just mentioned, and it's 16 the rest. As far as the Gold Cup goes, Lost in Translation, immediately after the race, we went 5-1 favourite from 8. He's now 9-2 favourites, a few quid around for him. Kenboy, 6-1, 7-1 Album Photo, another horse Mark mentioned, 16 Surname. And 20 Bar.
Fantastic. Also at Haydock, one horse that I do want to mention before we move on to the Irish action is Stony Mountain. He won the Staying Handicap Hurdle there. It's got an illustrious roll of honour, this, and Trevor Hemmings looks to have a really nice staying sort on his hands once again, Mark. What did you think of this horse? Because he flew home from the back of the last.
It's gas. You see finishes like this at Haydock sometimes where, you know, it's very tough going. It's stamina sap and stuff when you get into the nitty-gritty of it in these staying hurdles. And GC saw it very strongly. Thought Tedham was an eye catcher and coming home well as well. There's surely a big one in him. I know David Jennings is an advocate of his cause. But no, a rock solid horse. And to judge by his trainer's comments, it seems to be a bit of a character as well for them to be dealing with. So I'm sure they'll have plenty more fun with him. But ultimately, when he sees a fence, he's surely going to find improvement. So a nice performance from him, and nice for Henry Day to have one like him.
It is. I think he could go down various different avenues with him. He just looks a thoroughly likeable horse. But that was competitive race on Saturday. Stu, Stony Mountain, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought he was very impressive. He came from a long way back, finished with an absolute rattle. I mean, it was the sort of performance that made you think, oh, you know, 2 years' time, Grand National, yep, this is a horse I want to be on side. The fact that he's owned by Trevor Hemmings only makes that all the more clear, and I think they will very much be working backwards from Grand Nationals in a few years' time, and everything he does between now and then will all be about getting him there. You look at the way they developed horses through, like Bala Briggs and Hedge Hunter. Like, I think his whole career will now be about revolving around that race.
Yeah, playing the long game for sure. Paisley Park won the race last year, of course, so it is one to keep an eye on. We'll go across to Goran now. Mark's mentioned a few good performances we saw in the week, and Lorena was one of them on her chasing debut, beating Manella Indo, who I thought put up a really good performance. Mark, thoughts on Lorena? I mean, a lot of people are earmarking her for the Arkle now. What would you say to that?
Ah, she's awesome. God, it was great to see her back. I thought the way she jumped was quite clever. She looked to be an intelligent mare over a fence. Kind of made a little bit of a mistake in the straight, but the way she corrected herself from an earlier mistake wasn't even too bad on, but I just liked the way she got straight back into rhythm again. I'd say the way the race was ran, they didn't seem to go a huge clip, and from before three out, Paul Townend said afterwards they were absolutely flying, and that wouldn't have seen Melindo to best effect. He's a real stayer. He's a horse that takes plenty of runs to get him fit. I'm not even totally to get him fit, but to get him into peak condition. He's ran a stormer now, in fairness, and it'll be interesting. I was in Henry Bramhead's this morning for a press morning, and it was funny, it was joked that Henry would love him to take on a grade one next, and he could be one of the first horses to win grade ones over hurdles and fences, having never won a maiden hurdle or a beginner's chase. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, you mentioned the Arkle. I was kind of mixed on that. I nearly would have liked her for a JLT more than Arkell. No, she has tons of gears. But just the way she jumped, I think she could be more effective over a JLT sort of a trip. You know, Willie, I think, had said initially he felt that going back to 2 miles could suit, but Paul said that trip could suit her quite well. So for me, if you're forced me to have a bet right now, the 5-1 with Paddy Power for the Arkell, or the 9-1 out there for the JLT, I'd favour the JLT, just a little bit of value. But yeah, and interesting, she could go to Limerick next time for a Grade 1, and Faheen is earmarked for that. Reading between the lines, I'm not 100% sure, and this is I've not been told this, but just reading between the comments and what's been said in recent weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if Faheen doesn't go to Cheltenham this year. Now, obviously, if he wins a Grade 1, the temptation would be to go, but there's plenty of races to be won in Ireland, Connections keep saying, and that'll be interesting to see where he goes.
It certainly will, as always, an embarrassment of riches for Willie Mullins. Just sort of rewinding the clock, Stu, Lorena in the champion hurdle, does that sort of give you hope from a sort of chasing debut perspective that she's going to look better in an Arkell than she did over 2 miles at the championship level?
I mean, I think the thing for me that I would have as a query with Lorena right now is afterwards, Willie Mullins sort of suggested that the long-term goal with her would be the 2021 Mares Chase, which
is
a classic Willie Mullins thing. Yeah, I would say it is disappointing, yeah. But I wouldn't say necessarily disappointing. Willie loves the Mares races. I think in terms of her and the ceiling of her ability, if she was the sort of horse you wanted her to be and the sort of horse that you're looking at this time of year, thinking with the Arkell in mind, like you're thinking horses that are going to be contesting next year's champion chase or the following season's champion chase. Mm. You're not thinking horses that are going to be avoiding that contest to take on possibly the weakest race at the festival. So in that sense, I'd say that was something that caught my eye and was a note of caution.
Okay.
Just one thing there, Stu. Like when she won the Mares Novice Hurdle at Cheltenham, Willie said, "Just if there was ever a Mares chase here, we'd come back and she'd be an ideal mare for it." So I think there was a little, I won't say tongue in cheek too much because she could easily run there, but there was a little bit of a laugh when he did say himself about the Mares chase. Oh, come here, if you ask me to have a bet on where she'll run in 2021 at Cheltenham, should all go well, you'd be a fool to think otherwise. But I think from he was saying the makeup of this mare physically, she's a big chasing mare, and I think after his comments at Cheltenham a couple of years ago, I'd say that's where that's coming from.
Okay, very interesting then, the inside track from Mark. And you also have the inside track on Chris's Dream, of course, who won the Troy Town so impressively yesterday at Navan. He had the right sort of profile for the race going into it, and as always, it's that man, Robbie Power, and he was superb once again.
Yeah, look, he was probably the one there that had the graded potential in him of them. I know it's very easy to say it afterwards, but I just thought he looked the one that had the most progression in it to potentially develop into a nice sort of offences. He loves it around Navan. And I suppose his form last year tailed off a little bit towards the end of the season. Perhaps getting him fresh is the time that's needed. I think he went up 13 pounds. So he'll be up to, 159 now. Initially, Connections had mentioned the Tiestes, but you wouldn't be shocked if an Irish Gold Cup bid came into the equation at some stage, if they didn't fancy a massive, you know, like it might be a little bit difficult now to have to be between two stools in terms of handicap and Gold Cup sort of contender. But he has time on his side. He's unexposed. A real nice horse for them to look forward to down there. And there's plenty to look forward to over the week for them as well. They've got, you know, Honeysuckle, the prospect of her on Sunday, and the Hatton's Grace as well, where you'll be lining up against your Beiju and Apple's Jade and Bicardi's, and yeah, lots to look forward to for them.
Indeed, yeah. Chris's Dream, I mean, do you think he was a good winner of not the best Troy Town, or would you be reading more positively into it, Stu?
I thought he was very impressive. I think the issue with all of these horses is reassessment and then where they can go from that new mark. I mean, you know, it looked like he joined in the back straight. He would bunny hop the fences, made them look tiny, and he's a great big stamp of a horse. He definitely has the size and scope to suggest he could step up, as Mark says, into integrated company and hold his own. It all depends how he gets on when that happens. At the moment, if I had to have a bet, I'd say he'll be one of these horses that falls in that in between a rock and a hard place of being rated too high for handicaps and not being quite good enough. But it's a changing of the guard, and he is one of these new young horses coming through. He could well keep improving and step up, but he would need to keep improving.
Yeah, there's plenty of grade twos and grade threes. I'm sure he could pick up in Ireland anyway. A lovely horse to have in Henry de Bromhead's yard. Now, before we go for a break, what I do want to mention is Donegher O'Brien's retirement. Now, he doesn't seem to be on the scene 5 minutes, but what he's achieved is pretty remarkable, albeit with the backing of some very good connections. I mean, the likes, I think, for me, Champions Day, he really proved himself as a top-class pilot, winning on Magical and Kew Gardens. So it'd be a shame to lose him from the jockey's ranks, Mark, but he's going to start training, so it's another O'Brien that everyone's going to have to be fearful of now.
And to be fair to him, I don't think none of us will probably ever know what struggles, I suppose, he had with weights. He must be an incredibly tough personality to be able to deal with that side of things. And I'm delighted to see that he was rewarded with jockey's championship at that stage of his career. And it's funny to remember back to Joseph in his riding days mentioned that Donegher was coming along and he'll be better than me. So, you know, I'm delighted for him that he's able to go out like this. And I'm no doubt Aidan had, in recent months, I suppose, had mentioned certain horses that had been one of Donegher's winning in Aidan's name. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Obviously, couldn't be better bred for the job. And you mentioned, you know, some of the highlights of the last year. Maybe a more obscure one that I'd encourage anyone to go back and watch a replay of was Black Lux winning at Limerick. I thought that was ride of the season on the flat this year. Just it never looked likely, and he never gave up. And I thought it typified everything that he was as a rider, especially this season when he really hit top gear. He was very, very hard to stop.
Yeah, he was. Stu, you're very much a jockey's man. You like looking into their performances and what makes certain jockeys better than others, or what their strengths and weaknesses are. I mean, he was great in the Guineas, won a pair of them on Saxon Warrior and Magna Grisha. I mean, what set Donegher apart for you?
Well, I think the thing with Donegher, he was a lot like Joseph. He had a very, very cool head on his shoulders. You know, for someone so young being thrust into such high-level competition, you know, it really is no quarter given in those races, and he just took to it like a duck to water, didn't he? It was very rare after a race that you were saying, oh, the reason that horse got beat was because of Donegher. Mm. And I think he was a very stylish rider. He looked great on a horse. He always seemed to be well positioned, and you know, tactically he was very astute. I mean, I imagine growing up in that household, it's very hard not to be. Aidan's very very clued into to the way things should happen, and you know, I can't imagine how much of a benefit that must have been growing up, picking up on all of that, because the both of them were fantastic tacticians. And yeah, he was one of those riders where you knew he was going to be in the right place. So it unlikely your horse was going to get beat because of pilot error. It was more likely you picked one without enough ability.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think we enjoyed some great interviews with him as well towards the end of the year, so it'd be great to hear from him when he starts his training career. We're going to take a quick break now before we look at some of the action coming up this week and on the weekend.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back then to this Monday postcast, and it's action from Newbury that we're going to look ahead to on Friday, and a race with an excellent roll of honour. It's at 150 Villabrook's Novices Steeplechase, been won by the likes of Bobsworth, Konigree and Clan de Zobo in recent years, and Champ, a shining star of the Novice Chase division, could well run in it this time around, the Grade 2. We've also got Reserve Tank and Black Op, plenty of others in there as well. What do you think of this sort of division at this stage, Mark?
Yeah, geez, look, if all these horses line up here, we're in for a treat. You'd have to imagine some of them will head elsewhere. But yeah, Champ, you kind of made a believer of me at Newbury. I don't know. I was a little bit lukewarm on him last season. I suppose I've been particularly picky with him when you expect such a high standard from him. But I just thought now, the way he saw it out at Newbury on his chasing debut, you know, he's bred for the job as well to be better over fences. I was quite taken by him, and you know, it's unoriginal here, but he's one that you have to really, really be excited about going forward. He's the pick. I think David Jennings is pretty mad, not to mention him again. I think we were chatting recently, he's pretty mad about him too. He could be the real deal, this horse, so looking forward to seeing him if he lines up.
Yeah, I mean, it's always added up that he's been a smart horse with a name like that and a reputation like that. He's been brought along pretty slowly in a way, I'd say, before last year. Stu, JLT RSA, what do you see as the ultimate aim for him?
I think the RSA will be the ultimate aim. He won't win it. He doesn't jump well enough. He's one of those horses that I just find he's I just think he's a bit slow over his fences. He's a bit ponderous. And, I mean, that may improve, but from what I've seen at the moment, I
not
can't
natural.
Have him. No, I don't think so. I mean, he gets from one side to the other, and he doesn't really tend to clout them, but he isn't a horse that makes ground at his fences. And I think to be a top-class Grade 1 chaser, you need to make ground at your fences. So I think he's one of those. I'll be looking to take him on all year. I'll probably do my brains, and he'll probably go and win the RSA as well, just to prove me wrong. But for me at the moment, yeah, he's one that I would... I'd be looking to take on.
Okay, so he's no immortal just yet then. Binners, any thoughts on this novice chase? As I mentioned, it's got a really good roll of honour.
Yeah, it has got a brilliant roll of honour, Maddie. I have got a few thoughts on it. I'm going to take Champon, but I'm going to leave that for us later in the programme. We've got some betting on the race. I disagree with Stuart. I thought Champ was brilliant on his novice chase debut, and the bookies seem to agree with me. 6-4 favourite. Black Op is 5-2 along with Reserve Tank. Then it's 6-1 Vision Day Flow, and it's 10-1 Bar.
Fantastic. Word on Reserve Tank. What do you think of him at Wincanton? Because he didn't exactly set the world alight at Chepstow, but he overcame that.
Yeah, it was a decent enough performance. You know, it's sort of like, yeah. At the end of the day, we get all excited when these horses come out and they win their first novice chase. But let's be honest, they should be. They were miles better than the horses they're running against.
Yeah.
Over hurdles. They've got such a massive class edge. They don't particularly need to jump very well, even to still beat them comfortably. I think it's when you get to the second and third time out, when they're meeting other somewhat decent horses, that you can then really start to get an idea of the pecking order. And, you know, I think it's that when you've got these horses that are going to be very short prices, you're looking for reasons to take them on rather than for reasons to be with them. Like, you need to be going through a race and go, I absolutely cannot find a reason not to take this thing on. I guess, okay, maybe they might be a price, but you know, when they're going to be short at the head of the market, you're always looking for reasons to take them on. Reserve Tank, he's a nice horse. It's a good little race. This Black Ops, another one with a lot of talent, you know. And I think when you've got horses like that running for you, it's always, you know, always never a bad thing to have those horses on side, be taking on a horse like Champ.
Yeah, I think we can get carried away, can't we, first time out. We'll move on to the 3 o'clock then, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, we'll see Paisley Park make his seasonal reappearance here. It's the Ladbrokes Long Distance Hurdle, the Grade 2, over 3 miles. We've got the last four winners in this, you know what I mean. Harry accounts for two of those, Thistlecrack back in 2015, and Beer Goggles, of course, as well. So it's likely to be reflective of the overall picture of the Stayers division. And Binners, I imagine he'll be pretty hard to beat, won't he, Paisley Park?
I think he will, Maddie's. We make him a 4-7 favourite, and it's 5-1 the World's End. 6-1, you know what I mean, Harry and Thistlecrack. And it's 8-1 William Henry. If I was going to try and take on the favourite, I might have a go with Thistlecrack. It's been a few years since he won this by 6 lengths. That was in 2015 when he was the best hurdler around. It's a bit of a leap of a faith going with him, but he was still a good chaser last year, runner-up in the King George to Clandizobo. So if he brought his A game, he might give Paisley Park something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I'd love for that to happen. I know when he went for a gallop around the track, they sort of suggested he'd come on a lot for it, and the King George is the main target. But you'd have to think if he was on a going day, he could really serve it up to Paisley Parker. Mark, what do you think of it?
Jim, am I mad to think that this is a crack? Could run a big race too? I don't know. Maybe I can see people turning off their screens now listening to me saying that. But I don't know. Paisley Park improved for every run last year. For me, I'd be a bit more positive about Thistlecrack coming here in terms of readiness. Like, I think this race could give them a steer as to whether you're looking at... I don't think he's going to go back to a Gold Cup again. But, I mean, he mentioned as a potential stairs route for him over hurdles. I just wonder if he was to put up a big show in here, would you bypass your King George idea and go down that road? You know, he could potentially, if he scampered clear, he could give Paisley Park a bit of a test on his first start of the year when he is a horse that does come on run to run. So, look, it takes a bit of imagination, but I'll be shouting him on. He won't carry any of my cash. I'd like a bigger price to do it, but I hope he runs a big one. I hope he runs a big one for you as well.
Stu, you seemed a big Paisley Park fan earlier on in the show. I mean, last year he was winning worse races than this as he improved through the ranks. Do you think he can do it against this sort of opposition?
Yeah, I do. This opposition's rubbish, isn't it? I mean, the one horse in there that has the potential to, well, we know absolutely is top class, is Thistlecrack. Whether he can reproduce that is another matter. But, I mean, this was the race a few years ago that he really announced himself in, absolutely wiped the floor with them, went on to have that really dominant season over hurdles. If he can reproduce that, then he'll take an awful lot of beating. So I think he's the one to be scared of from a Paisley Park point of view. You don't really want to be taking on a horse that classy first time out. I imagine there'll be a bit left to work on. You don't want to be getting involved as a punter at the sort of price that he's going to be. But all things considered, I think the thing that will make this race interesting is what they do with Beer Goggles, because the whole race could develop into a bit of a crawl, really. There's not much of an onus on any of them to go out and make it much of a gallop if Paisley Park isn't fully wound up. I mean, they like to sit out the back with him anyway, but they're not going to want to make it a massive stamina test. Thistlecrack will probably do similar. You know, like you mentioned, he's on a path towards another King George potentially. So I think realistically, the whole race does revolve around Beer Goggles for all that he really shouldn't be winning it again. Mm. He's going to have the run of it, and depending on what fractions they choose to set. I mean, if they go slow enough on Beer Goggles, then it really could develop into the sort of race that Thistlecrack could run a blinder.
Yeah, because Paisley Park wouldn't necessarily want that, would he? What about You Know What I Mean, Harry? He's won the race twice. He's at least worthy of a quick mention.
He could start now.
Okay. Binners, any thoughts to add before we move on to the Fighting Fifth at Newcastle?
I think I've given you a really... Maddie, I'd love to see Thistlecrack do the business, you know?
Certainly would. I mentioned off air, I think I'd be in bits if he could win another race. So for my health, at least, let's hope he runs a good one on Saturday. As I mentioned, Newcastle is one of the big tracks as well. The 2 mile Betfair Fighting Fifth. And although it doesn't look the most competitive race on paper, we do have the dual champion hurdle winner, Bouvardet, making his seasonal reappearance. He's won the race for the last couple of years. Mark, how do you see it panning out this season? I think Silver Streak's probably his most creditable rival here.
And with all due respect to Silver Streak, that tells you a lot about the opposition here. Silver Streak, grandson at heart, she'd love to own him, but my God, if Bouvardet doesn't win this, we can forget about it. Like, I think Bouvardet win the champion hurdles, maybe I'm a little bit stronger on it, but this is just, it's a disappointing turnout for the race. And if he doesn't win this and win this with something up his sleeve, I'd be very disappointed. So, look, it's obvious, but like, I'm not someone that gets involved at odds on sort of prices too heavily, but 1-3, if you were that sort of fella, it's... He has to win this. Jeez, unless there's something wrong with him, he has to win this, I think. So, look, yeah. I think the champion hurdle division, as you mentioned there, a lot of them have a lot to prove. And, you know, reputations are going to, we're going to learn a lot over Christmas as to where we stand with some of them. But Boover has been the constant force there throughout it. And I know there's been questions about how strong the races he's won at Cheltenham have been. But he's won them and he's a winner. And his Punchestown performance proved that he can certainly compete at this level at a very, very comfortable rate. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him back, but if he doesn't win this with his head in his chest, I'd be very worried.
He's a very interesting horse, isn't he, Stu? Because Nicky Henderson always says he carries a lot of condition. He doesn't always run in the strongest races prior to sort of the Christmas hurdle and indeed the champion hurdle, but he has won two of them. Do you think he can win a third this year, or do you think some of the younger pretenders can really serve it up to him?
I'd be a bit disappointed if he could, to be honest. He's last year's horse, isn't he? He's one of those, he's getting on a bit. You want younger horses to be coming through and taking the mantle forward. It's a bit like tennis at the moment, and you've got Djokovic, Federer and Nadal still winning everything, and it's just like, oh, come on. Like, the young guys, like, how bad do you have to be to not be able to beat 37 or 38-year-old Roger Federer? Like, you know, I mean, he's an incredible tennis player. He's been great for a long time. Bouvardet the same, but he's getting on a bit, and he was beatable when he was...
Last season he got beat.
He was beatable when he... He can't be better than he was. He can only be the same or worse, and he was beatable then, so he's got to be beatable now.
Yeah, exactly. But in this race, unlikely.
In this race, it is unlikely. All I'd say is, you know, first time up, he's been less than impressive in this race in previous years. I think it was the year he beat Sam Crowe was the year he looked great, and then Sam Crowe went and absolutely destroyed that form by making it look worth absolutely nothing. So I wouldn't be surprised if Silver Streak gave him something to race up the straight. Mm. think that's about as bullish as I'm comfortable being. But I, you know, if I had to back one of the two of them at the prices they'll be, I'd always side with the horse at the bigger price. Especially, I think with Bouvardair, there's two question marks there. One, there's a bit of the Altior factor. When you go back and you look at his previous races, you think, actually, is there really that much substance to what he's been doing for sort of the last year or two? And then the other factor is, he was such a good hurdler. He was such a good jumper. That was his strength. And it's just sort of become a little bit of, not so much a weakness, but a question mark. He's fluffed one or two. And I think that for me is, yeah, more than enough to, I know Mark was trying to say, if you're into 1-3, then he's a certainty, but I think you'll find better 1-3 shots.
Mm. Okay, interesting analysis there then. We'll move straight on, because we don't want to run out of time, to the 3 o'clock. It is the Ladbrokes Trophy on Saturday. Once again, one of the really good handicaps at the start of a season. Binnis, run us through your market now, please.
Well, Maddie, okay, Corral heads the market at 9-2. Then Willie Mullins, Cabaret Queen, 6-1. 8-1, Elegant Escape, along with On the Blind Side. 10-1, Durasha Counter, and it's 12-1, the rest.
Okay, Stu, as a group, what do you think of this lot? Is it a shade disappointing not to have something a bit higher rated in there, or do you think they're very progressive and we could really see a future star?
I think that we're sort of halfway in between those two statements. I don't think any of the young horses are particularly exciting me. I don't think any of them are the sort of, you know, your Bobsworth, your Denman the first time he won it, that are going to progress through to a Gold Cup. You do have one horse in there who is proven at that level. Admittedly, he did come up just short in a Gold Cup, but Elegant Escape is the class horse of the race. Mm. Yes, he'll have a lot of weight to carry, but horses have proved in the Ladbrokes Trophy in the past that can be done. And at the end of the day, he has a distinct class edge over his rivals. If he gets into a good jumping rhythm, it's a perfect track for him. Newbury's a really lovely galloping sort, and I mean, it's a tougher ask than when he won the race before, but it's one of the weaker Ladbrokes trophies that I've seen, so I may well side with the classy animal.
Okay, Mark, I mean, Cabaret Queen's been a pretty big talking horse in the run-up to this race. She's got a great syndicate of owners behind her and a similar profile to Total Recall, who won it for Mullins a couple of years ago. Tell us a bit about her.
Sure, look, she absolutely blew you away the way she won the Munster National at Limerick. But effectively here, when you factor in the ratings rise and her mark in the UK, she's effectively £20 higher this time around. She won very impressively, albeit, and her jumping was something else to behold. But I will say there was a suggestion that maybe she might have, they might have given it to her a little bit handily in front. Nothing can get involved from behind. And I think it's going to be a very, very different ball game from her. I hope, because it'd be a fantastic story that she'd run very well. But I think there's others there that make more appeal. And the one that made most appeal for me was On the Blind Side. Just thought, again, in the similar sort of vein to Chris's Dream, you know, he's rated 149 or something like that, you know, and he just has that little bit of a potential to be a graded horse that could take the next step up. And I just like that sort of profile in this sort of race. And obviously Nicky has won the race 3 times since 2005. Well able to do it with this sort of type of horse. Blew away the cobwebs really nicely at Ascot, just stayed on really nicely. One concern I would have is that in the stable tour that Racing Post did with Nicky, he mentioned that the horse is still a little bit timid when in behind horses, so Nico was keen to give him a bit of daylight. Looking for daylight in a Ladbrokes Trophy isn't often the easiest thing to do, so I'm a little bit concerned in that department, but I think it's kind of whatever, double figure price, kind of 10-1, 12-1, you're going to get a chance to find out whether he could be a graded class performer. He's only had 4 starts, 4 fences, and he's achieved this sort of rating. So I'd give him another chance, and I think he will improve considerably for the run at Ascot. So On the Blind Side for me.
Okay, there's a couple of horses in here that I'm big fans of, not necessarily for this race. I like what Mr. Malarkey did last year, and Mr. Whittaker too, but one that I'm keeping my eye on is Nicky Henderson's Diablo de Rue down the bottom of the weights. If he runs, I still think there's mileage in his mark. I know Paul Keighley agrees with that. Binners, before we take a break, who's your fancy for the Ladbrokes Trophy?
Well, I am going to... It's good of Mark to give his reservations about Cabaret Queen. That £20 is a little bit of a worry. But Willie Mullins has form in this race with horses like Cabaret Queen. Mark mentioned the Munster National victory. Very, very impressive. Total Recall took the same route a few years ago. And then back in 2002, when Willie won it with Be My Royal, he was subsequently disqualified. Hit that one, won the Cork Grand National before coming to Newbury. So I think Cabaret Queen can do it for Willie again.
Fantastic. We'll take a break now before we look at the lads' midweek selections.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Finding pastel de natas in a London cafe? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back then to the final instalment of this Monday postcast, and we're going to get some fancies midweek this week. I won't run you through all the meetings, but we've spoken about Newbury already and Newcastle on Saturday. Newbury also have their Friday card. Mark, kick us off. Where's your next best running?
Thurles on Thursday in the 125 Trevena. She's a pretty useful filly on the flat for Dennis Hogan. I think she peaked at a mark of 75. She actually got within a length or so of Castaza in a kind of Doak's handicap. And she's obviously been on to be a group performer. She's not in that sort of league. But it was a lovely, lovely hurdling debut she produced at Cork on her first run for Peter Fahey. I thought that she'd win a mare's maiden hurdle comfortably. Now, this is against the Geldens, and she has to carry a £5 penalty for her win on the flat. You know, circumstances could suit her a little bit better. But I just thought she appealed as one with the benefit of that experience behind her that could take a bit of whack in here. And for me, in the 125 at Thurles on Thursday, Trevena, all the T's.
Thank you. Stu, you like one Nicky Henderson, bit of a dark horse this.
Yeah, at Newbury on the Friday in the 12:45, Nicky Henderson runs a horse called Precious Cargo. I was at Sandown when he won a novice hurdle, and Nicky straight away then said, oh, you know, kind of have next year's Arkle in mind for him, which is pretty bold statement for a horse that had just won the race he did. It was then sort of a mark of the esteem in which he held him that his next appearance was in a Grade 1 at Aintree. Didn't run much of a race that day, but I mean, they think a lot of him. They've always thought he'd be better over fences, and yeah, he caught my eye in amongst the entries.
Yeah, he was a very nice novice last year. You get the impression that the best is yet to come. Binners, your next best.
I'm going to go back to that 2.5 mile novice chase at Newbury on Friday, Maddie, at 2:25. I've already said that I was very impressed with Champ, but I think Vision Day Flow for Colin Tizard could be interesting. If this one takes defences, he was a very good hurdler. He beat If the Cap Fits at Fontwell in February. And I think at a current 6-1, I think that's very, very good each-way value against Champ, and he might even win the race as well.
Fantastic. Let's get those all-important naps.
This will not be beaten.
Mark, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I'm hoping that there'll be a little bit of value in him because there could be nice horse-centred against him. He could be short, but I think in the 12:15 at Newbury on Friday, Chantry House, I cannot wait to see this fella. He was huge reputation that he came with. He topped the sales when he won his pint to pint. Giant Nicky Henderson and Jake McManus. I thought he won at Warwick, and I think it was the weekend before Cheltenham, around that sort of time, and he was very, very impressive. Just think he could be potentially one of Nicky's best novice hurdlers this season, barring unless there's something wrong with his jumping technique, but there's no reason to think he won't be fine in that department. Chantry House, can't wait to see him, 12:15 at Newbury on Friday.
Yeah, lots of new stars are coming out of the woodwork. Stu, who's your nap of the week?
In the 1:50 at Newbury, same day as Mark on the Friday, Glenn Forser of Mick Shannon's. Obviously ran up a bit of a sequence last season, then had a somewhat disappointing end to the campaign. Think he can get back to winning ways.
I absolutely love him as well. Worked really well at Newbury the other day. Glenn Forser, fingers crossed he can return to form. And Binners.
Well, Maddie, a trip up north to Sedgefield on Tuesday, the 1:20, the 2 mile handicap chase. I'm going for a horse called Jolie Cricket, trained by Nick Alexander. She improved last time on her second start after over 500 days off the track. She was a close second. She's back over 2 miles on Tuesday. And with a little bit further improvement, I think she could be well handicapped off a mark of 86.
Fabulous. Thanks very much, Binners, and indeed Stuart and Mark for their thoughts today. That's all we've got time for. But remember, the team will be back on Friday to assess the weekend's action. Best luck with wherever you're betting this week, and we'll see you soon.
check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.